Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take us to that ninth inning when you were coming out. It looked like to take Seve out of the game. It seemed like he said to you, let me pitch. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So after he got done the eighth inning, right, he got through eighth, I wanted to see how he was feeling. He was up to 94, obviously, right? And so I didn't say anything. I just looked him in the eye and I said, hey, what do you got? He goes, I'm good. I said, okay, you're going to go back out. And then he came all the way to the cages. I followed him. I wanted to make sure that not only he was saying it, I wanted him to be honest with me. And he was. And I said, okay, I'm going to be pretty aggressive here. So just give me everything you got. And he goes out there, first pitch, he hits a batter. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to signal right away. It's not the first time that I go and make a mound visit with him especially. And I knew he was staring at me. And I know once he's staring at me like that, like he wants one more. At that point, I know I have Edwin Diaz ready. It's not a safe situation yet. The velo was still good. It was just one pitch. I say, okay. And then just, you know, the way he was, the previous three at-bats against Sanchez, you know, he was throwing fastballs by him. So I say, okay, I'll give you one more. Give me everything you got again. This is your game. I want you to be with conviction here. And he was pretty sure. So it was an easier decision for me. Obviously, I have a responsibility not only with the player but with the team. And my job is to put the team in a position to have success, right? And I felt at that time that was the case. So that was all to it.
It seems like there was concern about whether he was tired prior to the start because he hasn't had a full season since 18. I guess that's out the window now, right?
Yeah, for sure. And the outing in Colorado, you know, that was the one where we were looking at the velo, especially because the last time he pitched here, that day game, the velo was down. He got out of, you know, couldn't get out of the third inning. But then the one in Seattle, too, I thought he threw the ball a lot better. He just, like I said, we didn't make a play, and then they got him, right? But the velo was there. And then the way he's feeling in between outings. And, yeah, he's not concerned at all.
Laura?
Obviously, you were front and center last year where you struggled a little bit, was sent to the bullpen. What's it been like seeing him bounce back this season? Severino, yeah. Seeing him bounce back and go through this entire journey this year.
Proud of him because he hasn't been easy, especially the past few years, not only with injuries, but last year, you know, the year that he had. And then, you know, for him to come here and spend the off season working on his body and you know, learning about himself and just building the willingness to learn the new technology and how his body move and things like that. You got to give him credit. And then again, the work he's putting in, Since day one, when he reported to camp, the job that he's doing with the trainers, with the strength and conditioning, with all our medical staff, has been unbelievable. So you got to give those guys a lot of credit because they spend a lot of hours with not only with him but a lot of our players here, and we've seen some really good results. You know, he's in a territory where he hasn't been in a few years now, and we will continue to monitor it. We will continue to take care of him, and but overall, proud of him.
There were a few times last season when he was struggling. It was almost like he got into his own head a little bit. He obviously had three tough starts going into this one. Do you see him bouncing back better from difficulties this year?
Yeah, 100%. Last year was hard. It was hard, and they're human, you know. And I don't think he struggled like that in his career. And you know, even with some of the struggles this year, some of the outings where it was hard for him, the way he's handled it, more mature player. He understands it's a long season. There's gonna be ups and downs, but as long as his body feels really good and he's responding and the way the ball's coming out, he's a different guy now. So. Yeah, he's really good.
Will.
Hey, Carlos, when you say that you had followed him into down by the cage and you wanted him to be honest with you, what sealed it for you?
Just a conviction, you know. I said, look me in the eye. And I say, look, you know, we care so much about you and everyone in here. Like, I don't want you to be a hero here. I know what's at stake. I know you're throwing a pretty good game, but let's be in here. It's like, I'm good. I'm good, man, with, you know, straight face. And again, I know this kid since he was, I don't know, 15, 16 years old. And that kind of pretty much sealed it right there.
Just simply, like, what stood out the most to you about his performance?
Oh, man, everything. I thought early on he was using his fastball, and they were aggressive. So he got some quick outs. But then after the fifth inning, that third time through, the fourth time through, the way he was using the sweeper, the cutter, I thought he found his rhythm. Like, he found the pitches. Not that he didn't have it, because again, they were pretty aggressive. The two seam, and with his fastball. But then after the fifth or sixth, you know, he threw some really good cutters, some sweepers to get ahead, to put hitters away. So, pretty impressive with the way he used all of his pitches throughout the outing.
Ed. Carlos, what's it like to manage a complete game?
Special, you know, especially when you're getting booed and you're about to make a pitching change. You know, I don't think I've been booed the other way, you know, maybe taking too long, swing winnable, you know. But look, special feeling. The crowd was behind him. And for Sevy to go out there and watch him do what he did today, I watched him a whole last year when he was struggling. So a special day, and obviously to make some tough decisions there is a good feeling now that, you know, we got to celebrate it.
Manny.
How would you describe the feeling in the clubhouse there in that ninth inning with him, the way he was pitching, and when you came back, was it?
Yeah, I could sense everyone staring at me after the eighth. You know, when I was talking to Sevy, you know, I glanced. I think it was Manaya, Peterson. Like, they were all looking at our conversation. You know, and when they saw me, that I didn't shake his hand. It's like, you know, like, so yeah, I was feeling it, from the side. But they're right behind it, and then, you know, they feed off each other. It's contagious. Obviously, yesterday Manaya, today Sevy, and hopefully that's the case moving forward here.
Rich.
Complete game shutouts are so rare in this game where we are now. But from a standpoint of even beyond this game, does this really give you guys an advantage with the bullpen flexibility that the last two nights, starting pitching nights, have given you?
Yeah, it definitely has been huge. With the way our last time through the order, you know, we didn't get much of a length out of our starters. You know, I think it was like 3-4-3, and we were running these guys pretty hard. So on back-to-back night for us to, you know, stay away from a lot of different guys, it's a reset. They needed it, and it's important for us, especially for during this stretch. You know, I don't know when our next off day is. It's important, and we need to continue to get outings like this from our starters.
Zach?
Did you talk to Starling yet?
Briefly. He got in late. His flight was delayed. So he came in the middle of the game. there's a good chance he's in the lineup tomorrow, but I got to go back here and have a conversation with him. But yeah, he feels good. He was in the middle of the game, but I got to sit down and have that one-on-one with him.